Macmillan Audio presents Preventable by Andy Slavitt, read by Bradley Whitford. Preface. In February of 2021, I was at my desk in the old executive office building, a couple of hundred yards from the West Wing. I was 3 weeks into my new role as White House senior advisor for the COVID-19 response and starting my fourth Zoom call of the day. Thousands of Americans were dying daily. The country was in desperate need of some good news after the year-long pandemic. A few minutes later, after the call started, my cell phone rang from an unlisted DC number. I hadn't been through an uninterrupted call in the last 3 weeks. I silenced it. My phone rang again. This time I picked it up. It was the president's assistant asking if I could come to the Oval Office for a meeting already in progress. I grabbed a notebook and half jogged to the Oval, where I found President Joe Biden, his chief of staff, Ron Klain, and Jeff Zients, the COVID-19 response czar, in the adjoining dining room. Biden motioned for me to join them at the table. "Tell me what's going on in a way a junior in high school would understand it," he said to the three of us. The global pandemic had been gutting the country for the past year, upending and ending lives, shutting down businesses and causing job losses, and sparking a national identity crisis for a nation that considered itself above many of the world's problems. Biden's promise to the American people to lead us out of the pandemic was one of the reasons he was sitting there. Helping deliver on that promise was the reason I was there as well. Ron, Jeff, and I told him that for many of the questions the public wanted answers to, like when the pandemic would be over, the answers were as yet unknowable. We had estimates, plans, and models, but that was all they were. And after a year of the Trump administration promising that the pandemic was about to end at any moment, the public had grown fatigued and distrustful. "We don't know" is a perfectly acceptable answer, the president said. "Let's give it to the people straight. With nearly 500,000 American lives already lost, 20% of the world's deaths from COVID-19, though we only had 4% of the world's population." He said he wasn't interested in what made him look good, just straight facts he could communicate to the public. No games, just the truth. This was another reason President Biden was sitting there. His sensibility was 180 degrees from that of his predecessor, Donald Trump. I had spent the past year watching the pandemic ravage the country from an unusual seat, on the phone with the Trump team, state officials, scientists, members of Congress, and others at the center of this storm, pushing for actions to improve our response to the crisis. I had become part-time helper, part-time critic, and full-time public chronicler. 7 years before, I'd had my own experience leading a large-scale national rescue effort, first from outside the government, then from inside it. I was one of the few people, and certainly one of the only Democrats, who was talking to the Trump White House on a regular basis during the first year of the pandemic, and I had developed a clear understanding of what was wrong with their response. The White House in 2020 was not led by a man I respected or trusted. At the outset, that hadn't deterred me. After all, the color of your T-shirt shouldn't matter during a global pandemic. But this was the White House of Donald J. Trump, a man whose ego wouldn't allow him to acknowledge a problem like the novel coronavirus emerging on his watch. All the things he would have needed to do, beginning with taking accountability, managing a large-scale response, calling for unity, and relying on experts and institutions of science, were anathema to him. Still, I tried. I contacted Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and senior advisor, to offer my assistance, and spent the year on the push and pull of an effort to save lives and prevent even more colossal mistakes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?